life on the road. It's
booze, tacos, angry dwarves, strippers waving guns,
and
bees, fights, candle flights, running with the runs,
and
blacklists, bounce checks, great, a bachelorette, drunks in the front, making out through your set,
and
middle acts doing blow more, missing merch,
and
drive the rental car past another mega church,
and
juice, keys, vagina, fist, your cell phone is gone, one big Law and Order marathon.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to the Road Stories podcast. I'm your host, Murray Valeriano. We are part of the All Things Comedy Network. Check out All Things Comedy, but we're on fire watch right now. I know you guys are like, what are you talking about? But we got this horrible fire that erupted in the valley.
Yeah.
It's nowhere near me. Why am I concerned? Because I've got a free ticket to see The Who tonight.
Oh.
And they're talking about canceling it because half the freeways are shut down and the trains are shut down and all the schools in the valley got canceled today.
That bad?
And so, yeah. Look, on your way back out, look out over the hills.
You saw the smoke, but I didn't think it was that serious.
Yeah, well, apparently. Huh? I don't know. I find out when Pete Townsend has, see what he has to say about it.
Yeah.
But I love it. There's just, you know, it's not at all contained. There's, you know, been hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars of damage, and I'm worried about a free Who ticket. I didn't even pay for it. It's free.
That's Murphy's Law right there. I get a free Who ticket, and boom, the city's on fire.
It really is the epitome of my career. That is really how my career. Anything good happens. Like,
it's Murray's Law.
It is Murray's Law. It is my favorite of late. Is when I got made regular on At Midnight.
Yeah.
And they canceled it 4 weeks later.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
That's just the one in the last 3 years. That's, not to mention the ones that happened years ago.
Yeah.
But joining me today is Sam Damaris.
That's me.
Andrew Searles?
Yes.
Andrew Searles. Correct. Andrew, I just met in the lobby of our agent's
place, a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
And,
what's an agent?
We don't know yet.
Okay.
It's like the government, but they only take 10%.
Right.
Oh. Okay, so a thief.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
You do all the work, and then you give them the money. That's how it works out.
Oh, so slavery is back in style.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool.
Did they pay slaves?
No, I mean, they just took all the money. And
okay,
they did all, the
all right. All the profits. I see how that
they
works.
They let us live. Sometimes. But.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's not start this off.
Start on a sour note.
Let's bury that in an hour somewhere.
Welcome to the Black History Podcast.
Sam, I know through Slade Ham, kind of. I mean,
yeah.
And then I've run into you a few times, but it's been a while. You've been on the boats or on the military tours?
Everywhere.
Oh, really?
Anywhere that has a check with my name on it.
Oh, look at this guy's bitching. Doesn't have an agent. He works more than both of us.
Ta-da, entertainment.
No, I
like, what's an agent do? I just go to the bank with all my money.
Yeah.
My problem is I got to learn to start saying no.
Mm.
Just.
Why? Don't.
If you call me and tell me that you want me somewhere, I'm like, okay, I'll go. And then I have a bad habit also of like, if I've got like 4 days in between gigs,
mm-hmm.
most people be like, 4 days at home. I'm like, well, I'm already out.
Yeah.
So I did a cruise ship. I got off of Miami and they were going to fly me back to LA and I had to go back to Miami 4 days later. So instead I told them that I had a friend getting married in Colombia.
Okay.
So I had them fly me to Colombia and I hung out there for 4 days. And then
nice.
Flew me back.
What's an 8-ball of Coke going for these days?
You know, I didn't do it. Wink, wink.
We don't judge.
Man,
I produced another podcast this week, guys. So I'm just, if you feel the levels fluctuate a little bit, I had to turn them up. Because the woman was very old. Okay, sorry, Sam. You were talking about your Coke habit.
So I went to Medellin, Colombia, right?
You went to where?
Medellin.
Oh, okay, Medellin.
Like Pablo Escobar's town.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
They have undercovers on the street, just guys walking dogs. Just
really?
Looks like a regular old dude walking a dog. And if you got a backpack or whatever, the dog will just go up to the backpack, and it may smell something. Boom! They just pounce on guys. I saw like three guys get nailed.
Really?
Wow. I thought it was on the street.
Oh, selling. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I thought, well, I've never been to Colombia, and I have not always been the nice guy you see before you, Andrew. I have dabbled in my drugs early in my early life.
Well,
but back when I heard my buddy who used to go to Colombia, he said it was just like, but you can buy it in the streets and do it in the streets back then, and nobody cares. But that was the 90s, so I don't know what laws.
I don't know if they're only busting people who sold or whatever, but I saw three guys go down.
Wow, that's amazing.
Well, I don't. I don't want to know that bad. Don't get me wrong. I wanted to know. I wanted to know. Is it as good as they say it is, like, when you get it from the tap?
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to know.
And, you go actually to Fiji for the water.
I wanted to know. And I was just like, I don't want to know that bad. I'm not trying to go to jail in Colombia. And oh my God, the women there, amazing. Every girl in Colombia is gorgeous.
Oh, yeah?
And if you go to talk to anyone, any single one of them, they will tell you how much it is for an hour.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Like, I did not meet one pretty girl down there who was not selling it.
So what's the going rate? Just asking for a friend.
Apparently a backpack full of coke.
It was like 350,000 Colombian pesos, which I don't even know what that converts to American. But I just was like, no, man, I'm not here to do that. I'm like, I got American money. Like, you want to go out and ask for drinks? Whatever, we can do that. Can we do this old school, like, dinner in a movie shit? Like,
I got to be back on the cruise ship by 7, so go entertain a bunch of geriatrics. I'm completely opposite, Sam. I am just now adopted say yes to everything. And I drove to San Jose last minute. Levity called me.
Nice.
San Jose to do one night, turn around and came home. Like that night.
Jeez.
Like that's Phoenix called me the other day. I said, Mayor, my wife, I'm going to Phoenix for 3 days. Okay, go, bam. I say yes to everything now.
Yeah, I do too. And so road stories, you do the Phoenix thing, you do mm-hmm. San Jose. What is your threshold for hours of drive to where you will not take the hotel room and go home?
I'm just meeting Andrew here for the first time. I'm married with a kid.
Yeah.
So if it's within it's a half circle. It's San Francisco, round down to Vegas, now out to Phoenix, down to Mexico. Oh, no, in Mexico, because I drove home from Mexico after a gig once. So that's the circle of when I go home after last show at night.
Okay. See, you said Vegas, and then you said now to Phoenix. I thought as I got older, the threshold would get lower. Like, it used to be 3 hours or less, I'm going home.
Right.
Then it became 4 hours or less, I'm going home. Now, 5 hours, I'm like, I'd just rather go home.
Yeah.
I would rather go. And
depends on the time, too, because like, if it's a 7 o'clock show and you're out by 8:30, like,
oh, absolutely.
And you could be like, yeah, if I could gun it, I'll do it now. But
usually, if I can be home before last call.
No, that's a good. Yeah, I got a little bar around the corner. I usually do that.
Yeah. But like, if it's gonna put me back at 3 a.m., I'm like, maybe I should get some sleep.
Well, here's my theory, and well, I'm gonna talk about Canada in a second and find out what their coke deal is.
our white stuff just falls from the sky. That's it.
My thing is, I drove back from Phoenix. They asked me to come out and open their for this guy named Craig Gass, who is hilarious and huge. Their new room is huge. It's called CB Live. I think it's under the Levity umbrella also. And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go do 3 sold out shows. Why not? It's gonna be fantastic. And then the drive home 6 hours. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, I won't sell CDs on the second show. Second show starts at 9:30. I'm off at 10:15.
Yeah.
All right. Let's round it. I'm in the car at 10:30. So 10:30, 11:30, 12:30, 1:30, 2:30, 3:30, 4:30. I'm home at 4:30. But my mom, hi, Freudian slip, my wife. My wife.
Please do tell me more about this.
My wife takes a kid to school and then goes does yoga. So I sleep till 10 or 11. I'm up by noon. I still got the rest of the day.
Yeah.
If I do the show, hang out, hang with Craig, Craig doesn't drink, but I'll probably have drinks at the bar afterwards, get back to the hotel around 2, sleep, wait for traffic. That's 10 before I'm even thinking about getting on the road.
Yeah.
I'm home at 4. Yeah. You want to miss rush hour. And then even if I miss rush hour there, I'm going to hit it when I get here.
Yeah.
So my whole day's shot anyway. So why not just drink a couple extra coffees, drive it, go home, crash, and then have noon to the next day.
That late night, there's nobody on the road but you.
Oh, I know. That's the band.
That's the big key to getting the hell out of there. It's just like, I literally can hit cruise control. The car will drive itself home. I never have to touch my brake.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm just out.
Oh, it's so fantastic. And if you're coming from like the Arizona area, it's all desert. You're not getting the sun beating down on you for 5 hours.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's nice. It's, you cooled off a little bit.
Yeah.
I drive regularly from here to Seattle.
I did to Spokane once. I don't. What is that, like 17 hours?
Yeah. Well, I've done Seattle in 15, but
okay.
But like I'll set up gigs usually like in Oregon on the way or whatever. You know what I mean? But yeah, I go up there. I take my car all the time, and then the drive back is one of those where like, okay, you know, man, maybe I'll stop in San Francisco, do whatever. But then it's something about like once you hit San Fran, your body just goes, just punch it. Just go home.
Yeah,
just
go home. Yeah.
And I have walked into our apartment like 7 o'clock in the morning. Andrew's like, hey, you're home. And I'm like, don't talk to me. Just fall face first into bed and pull every window closed. Just like, first person who touches me dies. I will kill all of you.
Sam and Andrew are roommates, not Sam and I. Sam and I don't live together. That's right. Sam and Andrew. Now, this last thing on this. What, coming back from Phoenix or... or I did somewhere else. Where was I? I was in like, I forget, Havasu or something. Laughlin's another one.
Oh, yeah.
Now when I come back after,
yeah,
I hit Palm Springs. That's when I start fading. And that's another 2 hours. You know what I mean? That's my get out check.
Yeah.
You know, maybe get another cup of coffee, shake your face, do something. Cause I start just going one eye.
Well, I feel like on those long drives where, even it'll be like 3-4 in the morning and my body, like I'm not a coffee drinker, but I know the way my body reacts to that is I know if I slowly kind of dim out, I'm dead. So my body just kind of goes, it kind of goes into reserved energy like, you could do this, just keep going. And there's been times where I think I got back from a show in Edmonton and I was going back to Calgary, which is like a 3-hour drive. And I do not remember getting back to the city.
Oh.
So there was a time where I actually thought I died, and everything after that was just limbo for my body to be like, hey, at some point you're gonna go to heaven, so just accept that you died somewhere on this trek.
Oh, I think it's adorable that you still believe in heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so cute.
LA hasn't gotten
here. Oh, come on, you're so young.
I know.
I get so full of hope. Spike on long drives, I get the energy spike at 99 miles to go.
Oh yeah.
When I'm in double digits, I'm just like, punch this, and I'm up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But literally like 102 miles to go, I'm like, I should pull over and get a hotel. Blah, 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 blah. 3 miles later, like 99 left, let's do this shit. Second I'm in double digits, I'm like, no.
Duke's Hazard thing.
It's also at that point when you hit double digits that your body goes, hey, you know what? I could take a shit right now. And then that's even more of an energy to be like, I have to get there now.
I was, when I was still living in Houston, there was one time where I was coming back from a gig like on the Texas-Mexico border in McAllen, Texas. But I was coming back, and on my way back into Houston, my house was 25 miles to go, and my mom's house was in 2 miles.
Yeah.
And I went into my mom's house, and she woke up, and I was on her couch. Like, I literally could not make it. I was like, my house is lit. It's right there. There's nobody on the- Oh, no, that was it. That was it. It was getting to be around 7 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And I hit traffic, and I was like, I'm not sitting in traffic to home. Mom's is right there.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And she went, oh, hey, how you doing? Thanks for coming by. I was like, I just need to sleep. I'm so sorry.
Wow.
By the way, the fridge is empty.
Yeah. I just coincidentally brought my laundry.
I came in and ate everything and went to bed.
Oh, you're so, man, none of my family lives anywhere near where I travel, where I can't just go crash. All my family lives in Montana now.
Oh, my gosh.
And I had to cancel something with a booker.
Is your family running from the law?
No, it's a long series. All right, I'll tell you. It's my
so they have to change last names.
And, yeah. All right, my oldest brother, he's like 10 years older than me, moved to Montana in the early 90s, started a fly fishing business up and down the Yellowstone.
That's a good place for that.
Yes. He got married, had kids. My other brother's a professor. He was teaching in France. That gig ended, so he put in applications to different colleges. University of Montana, Bozeman picked him up. He got married, had kids. When my parents retired, they moved to where the kids were. So now All my family lives in Montana.
So you're the last one.
So I'm staying here. This is, I moved here. I'm like, I'm getting the fuck. Why would I move from, we're from Jersey. Why would I move from winter to more winter?
Yeah.
Like I shoveled enough fucking snow. You're a Canadian. You get it.
Oh, yeah.
From Houston. You don't know what the fuck we're talking
about. No, I left Houston for brutal summer.
Oh, really? It's
surface of the sun and like 70% humidity for 3 months straight. And honestly, the longer the dreads got, I knew I wasn't going to be there longer. It's so hot in the summer.
Oh, like
the
hair.
And I mean, you're talking like 110 and then the heat index takes to like 117.
Oof.
And that's for like a month straight.
And the record's like 120 on land is like 123 or something like that.
Yeah. And I mean, and that's the record of like straight heat. I'm saying our heat index, because the humidity goes, oh, it's going to feel like it's 117.
Right.
Well, if it feels like it's 117, then it's fucking 117.
Yeah, exactly.
All right? Don't tell me. Tell me what it is so I know when I go out what to expect. And there's nothing you can do.
Right.
It's just, and it's so funny because you were saying like, why would I leave winter to warm winter? Like I go places like I do gigs in Canada and they're like, oh, the wintertime is great because everybody comes out to the clubs because no one wants to be outdoors. They go, and the summertime, you're screwed. I was like, then you should go work Texas. I'm like, what do you mean? I was like, everybody wants to be indoors.
Yeah, yeah.
During July, you sold out shows, baby.
That's awesome.
You go during the winter, everybody's out barbecuing.
Right.
I'm like, they're swimming in November in Houston.
I know. I got a friend from Houston. She sends me pictures of her kids by her pool in December and January.
Holy jeez.
Yeah.
We had a hot Christmas 2 years ago.
Yeah.
First time I remember that.
I won't get in this. We have a pool, and I probably won't get in it now again till next summer. Because it just gets cold.
Oh, it's freezing right now.
It's cold.
Yeah.
Now, the coldest I've ever been was in Canada.
Yeah.
I mean, it was in Montreal, and I didn't bring, I mean, I've lived in California my whole adult life, so I'm a California kid as far as I'm concerned now. So I brought what I thought would be warm, forgetting that I used to ski. And my wife was so pissed off at me because I didn't want to leave the hotel room.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to go out there. She's like, come on, no, it's fucking cold.
It's, you know what? Like, now that I've lived here, when I go back, as soon as you walk off the plane, it hits you. But because I guess because I grew up there, my body just goes, oh, we remember how this goes.
Right,
and then
right.
Eventually just kind of adapt to it. But I think I did one show in Winnipeg. It was minus 55.
Wow.
In Winnipeg. The surface of Mars was minus 52. So if you wanted to go to a warmer climate, you actually had to go to Mars, which is 3 degrees warmer. And I was like, yeah, this is and it's the point where when you breathe, you feel your nose freeze up and your throat freezes up and you're like, why do I live here? Why do my parents who left Barbados in Jamaica decide to be like, you know what? This is the better option.
Right.
I'm like, nah, this is, I'm like, I'm not the doctor.
Are you Jamaican?
Half Jamaican.
Half Jamaican, half Barbados.
Barbados, yeah.
Bayesian, is that what that's
Bayesian,
called?
Yeah.
Bayesian?
Yeah, but the scientific is Barbadian, but we're like, that's too long. Bayesian. Just call it Bayesian. That's a lot easier.
I was in Ottawa, and it was minus 47.
Yeah.
And the North Pole was minus 40.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Watch this. Ottawa? The capital of Canada.
Oh,
what?
He knows.
What?
He knows. Let me call Trudeau.
So here's the thing, man.
He's one of us.
I'm already uncomfortable with the slave talk, and now I got to bring up blackface. Come on. Come on, man.
I did Calgary
last week. My
white guilt's
coming out. You did Calgary now?
I did Calgary last week.
Is that where you were? I called you last week. Okay, that makes sense.
I did Calgary last week, and on my way there, I pack up everything. I walk out of my apartment. I'm waiting for my Uber to take me to the airport. And then as he's pulling up, I was like, shit, need a jacket. Because it's beautiful here.
Right. I know.
So I tell the guy, wait. I have to run all the way upstairs. That's why you heard me just fly in the door and fly back out. And then the thing is, it's been so long. I didn't know where the hell my jacket was.
Right.
And I was like, where is it? I haven't. Did I lose it somewhere?
I went up to Montana one winter, how long ago was it? That had to be 4 years ago because I took my kids skiing. So about 3 or 4 years ago. And all I have is jackets for here.
Yeah.
And then fucking heavy ass puffer.
When you go back.
For when you go to Montana or when you work up north. Like I'm going up to Seattle in a couple months. I get out there and it's like their warmest winter. So it's like 54 degrees and I look like I'm fucking tripping through the Arctic. Got the hoodie on. My brother's like embarrassed to be with me at the mall. He's like, what are you doing? Like a muffler on and mittens. And a
oh my God.
Like, this is all I brought.
I used to hate that from Houston. I would go out and, you know, the jacket's big and it weighs a bunch, so there's no room for it in my suitcase. And I know I'm going up to Canada, and so I got to wear it. Mm-hmm. So literally, like, I'm either carrying it under my arm and it's making one side of my body sweat while I'm in Houston, or I have the thing on and I'm just boiling underneath it till I can get on the plane and stuff it over my head or whatever. And then you get off the plane and, like, you've been sitting there, sleep in your chair for a couple hours, whatever. Then you get off the plane, you're like, oh, it's so nice. Shit! And you're like, where is that jacket?
How do you deal with, I've never had dreadlocks, so Sam has got dreadlocks. How do you in Bahrain or Djibouti in that with those dreadlocks? Is that
it just
hot?
Sweat?
It just sweat.
It just sweat. Djibouti was the worst.
Yeah.
The last time I went there, we were going from one building to this other building on the other side of base. I had to stop in two buildings because there was so much sweat in my eyes that I couldn't see.
Oh, I bet.
It was absolutely terrible. And that run we did, it was we did Djibouti on that run, but we also did Bahrain and like Abu Dhabi and a couple of other Muslim countries. And it's in July, so it's dead of summer. And that year, July was the month of Ramadan.
Oh,
so by day, you're not allowed to be seen drinking water.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't
you have
know
to fast.
Oh.
You have to fast while from sunup to sundown, you fast.
Oh.
And I mean, it's not like, oh, this is just a religion thing, so participate if you want to. No, some of these places, it is law.
Yeah.
Like, so they're like, yeah, if you get pulled over and there's a half drink bottle of water in your car, you're in trouble when the sun is up. So, hottest time of the year in the hottest place on the planet, and during the hottest time of the day, I'm not allowed to hydrate.
Wow.
And I was with Slade. He booked it, and I looked at him. I was like, if they ever ask us to come over here during Ramadan again, you're going without me, bro.
Right.
I can't fucking do this.
Right.
Now, the cool thing was every hotel we stayed, like if we were on base, it's cool. We don't obey your rules because that's American soil, right?
Okay.
But even the hotels we stayed at off base, when you got in the hotel, they were like, yeah, nope, you can't do anything, can't do anything. Well, but when you got to your room, there was like all these bottles of water on there, and they were just like, we understand if you don't practice our faith, whatever, just please don't take these outside of your room.
Jeez.
So they would give you water, and they'd be like, here you go. We get it, American. You're going to die.
Yeah. Jeez, that's insane.
I'm surprised that you weren't sweating so much. Like, you didn't come back as skinny as me, basically.
I might have. I don't know. I was delusional.
If it's the same run, which I think it is, they put you in that really sweet hotel in Bahrain, right?
Oh, God. It's a palace.
It is amazing. But the shitty thing is it's so hot you can't, like, enjoy the pool. Because, you know, all the metal ladders are like fucking 1,000 degrees and the pool is like,
yeah, that's your fault for touching the ladder. Cannonball! I was out. I can't enjoy the pool. Watch me. I can't drink water. I will drink pool water underneath. You can't see.
My buddy went in and there was a nice bar and he was a drinker and he ordered a... His drink is Grey Goose vodka.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty pricey. It's not a well drink. It's a pretty pricey vodka. And he did the math backwards on how much it was going to cost him. And even the bartender who was like an expat. No, he wasn't an expat, but I think he was British or something, but he spoke English really well. And he's like, are you sure you want a double Grey Goose? They're pretty pricey. And he's like, no, I'm American. I had the drink. He's like, are you? Okay. Okay.
That's your first clue when the bartender goes, you sure you want
to
go this?
Talk you out of him making money.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting back. I'm like, what's about to transpire? I'm going to watch this. And he ended up paying for a $56 double Grey Goose.
I bought a $21 beer once.
I felt bad. I gave him 20 bucks. Like, yeah. I just, like, that was kind of a show. I appreciate it. There's a little 20 for the cause.
I bought a $21 beer once. It was one of those Arab countries that's rich with oil money. So they're. Dollar is like crazy, and it was three of theirs, whatever. So I was like, here you go. And I put my card down. And I was like, whatever it is whatever it is.
Right.
And then I got back to the hotel and I looked at my card, and they're like, 21 US. I was like, it was a Budweiser.
Ah, oh, kick it when you're down.
Yeah. I was like, okay. Well, looks like we're going to practice sobriety on this one. Speaking of which, man, and this is because it's called Road Stories, and I love telling people this.
That's why I have you guys on, man.
So
they're sick of hearing mine.
I started 2001, mm-hmm. right? And I things went well, kind of early for me. And then 2008 was the first time we ever went to do Iraq.
Uh-huh.
And 2008, it's a war zone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's no booze anywhere. These guys got to be ready to fight at any time, right? And since there was no booze, that you if you go now, there's bars on base.
Right, right. I'm just trying to get the where we're at in 2008. Okay, go on.
But we get there, and there's no booze. We're getting ready to do the first show. And I realized that I've been doing comedy for 7 years, and I was about to walk on stage sober for the first time in my life.
All right.
Oh, wow.
And, oh, my God. Palms, sweat. that entire Eminem song, like that first verse.
Yeah.
It was all of it. I was like, what the? Three shows in, I was like, I don't think I'm ever drinking before I go on stage again.
Oh, nice.
It was... Especially because, you know, those soldier dudes, like a lot of them are young, whatever, and they all try to out-alpha each other. You get hecklers, and I was just so quick at coming back and just spiking these dudes to where I was just like, if I was drinking, that would not have been as good as it was. And so nowadays, I either don't drink before I go on, or if I do, I go up with like my first drink of the night in my hand, and that's it. But other than that, like, and that's been since 07. Since 08. I was just like, this is better now. Yeah.
I'll drink a beer maybe, but I'm on the wagon now, so I probably won't drink before shows this weekend. So I go on the wagon for like periods of, you know, 6 months now, and then drink for a year, and then go off for 2 years, and then drink for a year.
See, I'll drink for like 2 years, and then I'll be like, 3 days off. That's 3 days, no alcohol.
Well, you also don't have a wife going, you want to the liquor store again, honey?
Like, no. I guess not anymore now.
I just have Andrew going, is that another bottle of Jack Daniels?
Yep. You're not a drinker, Andrew?
No, not really.
That's not very Canadian of you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the Canadians, we do like our Molson and our Crown Vic, but Crown Victoria, what's it called?
Crown Royal?
Crown Royal, that one, yeah. You could tell, obviously.
Crown Royal gets you loaded into a Crown Victoria.
Exactly, there you go. Can you tell I don't drink? Prefer the back seat, yeah. But yeah, I'm not a big drinker. It doesn't really do anything for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I could go a couple weeks or months without drinking, and it doesn't affect me. Yeah. Like, I don't go... So for some people, it affects them.
How long have you been in comedy?
17 years.
All right. Yeah. I don't think he's going to go if he hasn't.
No, it's been this long.
It's so awesome.
Sorry. How old are you?
Right at 35 right now.
All right. Do the math on that for me, will you?
So, 18.
All right. That's not bad.
So it's so awesome because he'll have friends come and visit him, and they'll go and they'll buy more booze than they can possibly ever drink.
Right.
And then they leave town. They're like, bye, Andrew. And Andrew just comes out of his room. He's like, hey, do you want any of this? And I was like, yes, all of it. I will take all of it.
This bottle's not open. You want it?
And then he'll come back in and he'll be like, so yeah, man, it's cool. Like, you got booze last for days. I'm like, no, actually, I'm going to the liquor store. And he's like, that's already gone. Yeah, sorry.
It's been 3 hours. Money gets tight. You're like, Andrew, you got any relatives coming to town? Yeah.
Sorry, buddy. I got bored.
Anybody got a birthday coming up you want to celebrate here in Los Angeles? That's hilarious. So when did you get down to the States?
I came down 3 years ago last week, actually. Yeah, three years ago. Yeah.
Did we talk about that on or off the air? I forget.
I think, I don't know.
All right. Well,
we'll talk about it again.
All right. So how long have you been down in the States?
3 years now. Okay. So yeah, I've been here 3 years now. It was just basically starting from the bottom. Mm-hmm. It was like... A lot of Toronto comics when they come down, like a lot of Toronto comics been coming to LA for years. So they always had someone when they went down, they'd be like, oh, hey, what's the layout?
Sure.
Of these rooms. But from Montreal, no one from Montreal really went down. Like, it was me and one other comic guy, Guido Cocomello. And he went down 3 months before I did.
And then got deported to the wrong country.
Yeah.
I only know Montreal for the festival. Is it a good comedy town?
It's a great comedy town. There's a... The rule of thumb for Comedy Montreal is if you win the audiences there, the rest of Canada is a piece of cake.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Montreal audiences are very... They kind of have a little bit of a high nose when it comes to comedy.
Because they're French.
Yeah, that too. The French and
French also just, it's also the biggest festival that goes on there every year.
Exactly.
It's international and yeah.
So a lot of people kind of
snootiness comes from. That's not funny, Mr. Blackman.
Please try again, or you'll separate. So I've seen a lot of comics go up to Montreal and they do well in other places, and then they come to the Comedy Nest or the Comedy Works, mm-hmm. and they are just not winning them over. But there's something about Montreal audiences that, yeah, I guess it's probably because of the festival and, and that little European French thing where that kind of makes them a little bit snooty. But when if you win them over, everywhere else is a piece of cake.
There's a comic I surf with. I only met him in the water, but I knew he was a comic, and he's Canadian, and I'm blanking on his name. And he's like the, I call him the bare naked ladies of comedy. Here, but in Canada, he was on This Hour Has 22 Minutes.
Oh.
Sean.
Majumder.
Sean Majumder.
Yes, yeah.
So Sean Majumder. So I used to do this tour. I'm pointing over at all my paraphernalia over there. My tour tickets are over there. called Comics on Safari, where it was all comics who surfed.
Yeah.
And we went up and down the California coast and surfed and did shows. And it was great. Lachlan Patterson, a Canadian, was on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And Sean Majumder is like, oh, man, we should do this in Canada.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, yeah, sure. He's like, yeah, there's a great theater in Halifax. I'm like, all right, cool. So I get home and I Google this theater. It's like, you know, 3,000-seat theater. And I'm like, I can't fill that. And I talked to my friend who's Canadian, another random Canadian I surf with. I'm like, you ever hear a guy named Sean Majumder?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, that guy's hilarious. He's like, he wants to do a show in 3,000. He's like, oh, yeah, he's fine. He'll fill it.
Yeah.
He'll fill it.
Easy.
Why would you leave?
I know. Why would you leave?
If I could fill a 3,000-seat theater at $10 a ticket, I'd do that show 3 times a year?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't need America.
I would write it. You know that new hour every year? I would write a new hour every 6 months.
Yeah.
I don't have nothing to do except sit home and count this money.
Last year I had open heart surgery, and that's been taking up a lot of my headlining set. I'll fucking do it again for 3,000. Let's do it. I still have my surgeon's phone number. We can fake something.
Just call the doctor and be like, hey, I need a new hour. What else on this body needs fixing?
What can you take? Is there anything I can take for some more material?
Do I need this kidney? Do I really need it?
When I was 22, I racked up a bunch of parking tickets, and I went and turned myself in because I had warrants. I just went and turned myself in, and that was the first time I went to jail, and I was like, I'm going to write something out of this.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I was like, yeah, I don't want to pay these tickets. Can you just put me in jail for the weekend? And they're like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, I got more time than I do money. Yeah. So I was like, let's go to jail, guys. And then I got nothing out of it because it was like in Houston, the jails were overcrowded. So I went in at like 10 a.m. and every 12 hours counts as a day. So that 10 a.m. to noon counted as a day. So midnight that night, I was out on the street.
Oh, really?
And I was like, that's it? That's what jail is? I was like, guys, I will never pay a ticket again.
Absolutely, man.
And a couple years later, I tried to do it again. I was like, yeah, can I just go sit it out? And now he said, they won't let you. They're like, no, we'll give you more time to pay, but we're getting your money.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They caught on early, man.
Yeah.
They caught on early. Houston's going broke because Sam won't pay his parking tickets.
Like, we see you're trying to get a Netflix out of me, so.
I write 5 minutes every time I come here. I swear I will go get another ticket tomorrow. Then I moved to L.A. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to your jail. Yeah.
I've been to this jail once. You don't need to go.
Yeah.
No.
I used to, there was a stint in time where there was a DUI sting outside of the Improv on Melrose, and I picked up 3 or 4 of my friends out of the Hollywood jail, a couple of them downtown.
Oh,
you do not want to go to the jail in this town. It is gnarly, man.
Is it scary? In what aspect is it scary? I'm kind of curious to see.
It's just every central casting looking gangbanger, you know, face tattoos, which I'm scared of anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you could be a fucking forever 21 with a face tattoo, and I'm scared. Yeah. I don't need to be in jail.
How much is the scarf? Police?
Andrew, you asked how scary would LA jail be? Okay.
Yeah.
We live in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Look at the people who are free in our neighborhood.
Yeah, you're right.
Look at the people who are not in jail in our neighborhood and just think that there are people worse than that.
Oh, boy.
Is there? Dude, because we have a balcony, routinely, like 2 o'clock in the morning on Friday or Saturday, we will just get up and go run because we hear shit going on.
All
kinds. Hear a fight.
Yeah.
Car squealing. Hey, fuck you, motherfucker. We're like, oh shit, somebody about to get it.
Yeah. Oh, the amount of times I've heard like, and I'm like, here we go. And I'll rent in a balcony just to see what's going on. And I'm like, oh.
I moved to Hollywood in the 90s when it was really a shithole. And I lived at Yucca and Hollywood Boulevard.
That's where we are.
Where do you live?
Yucca and Whitley.
Do you live at the Ardmore?
No.
Oh, yeah. I lived at the Ardmore, that big white building at Franklin.
Yeah.
We're next to that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's right behind us.
If they don't cancel the Hollywood Bowl, can I park at your apartment building tonight?
We don't have
signed spots. Shit.
All right, we'll talk about this off air.
Someone's just like taking notes and be like, hey, these two comics.
I got the call for the ticket. I'm like, who do I know who still lives at the Ardmore?
If I go out tonight, then you can have my spot.
Okay, cool.
But I had no plans of going out today.
All right. Well, if I get another ticket to the Who, I'll bring you.
Well, if that's the case, I will come out here and get you.
Oh, okay.
And we will park in my spot and we will walk around.
So basically, I lived in the same area you guys live now.
Yeah.
So amplify what you see by...
I heard it was so 100%
maybe. And yeah. it really got to the point where people, like, the gunshots, you could see the flare of the gunshots through your apartment window.
Holy
like
shit.
That kind of stuff, let alone hearing them. But yeah. I think it just got to the point of this. I never got in any trouble. Mm-hmm. I would walk down to that corner liquor store every morning and buy I was in this like milk and donuts kick for a while. And I'd do it in the middle of the night. And like, I just think they're just like, you know what? This skinny little white boy's crazy as fuck if he's walking through here. Let's leave him alone. I don't know. Yeah. I never had any trouble. But man, I heard and saw. Opposite. I saw guys get punched out right in front of the bar. It was.
I see that a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have the exact opposite. They're like, okay, that black dude's kind of scary looking. So yeah. let's leave him alone.
Oh. Okay, I thought they're going to be like, let's get him. Let's get him. We can take him out.
That's how I feel when you come in the apartment. I'm just like, who the fuck is this? Oh, it's Sam. Okay, good.
It's crazy. I look a lot more menacing than I actually am.
Right, right.
And I can't see shit. I walk around squinting all the time. And people just look like, oh, do not fuck with that guy.
Why don't you need glasses?
I'll get them when I need them. when squinting doesn't do it anymore. Right.
That's what I did. I finally broke down and got them this year. I was tired of getting fucking tennis elbow from doing this.
Oh, geez.
My phone. So I ended up getting them.
When I first moved here and I had to switch over to California license and I had to do that eye chart. So I'm doing the eye chart and halfway through the guy just goes, just stop. Just stop. And I'm like, what? And he's like, you haven't got any of them right. And I'm like, really? And he's like, how are you still driving? And I told the guy, I was like, look, I drove here from Montreal. That's 46 hours. I didn't get into any car accidents.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, all right. It just passes me. He's like, well, that logic, I mean, like, if you made it here, then you're good.
That California driver's test is a bitch if you have to take it.
Yeah.
My lawyer says, he's like, I got here. I took the California bar exam. I passed it the first time. Driving exam, 3 times.
Yeah. The weirdest thing was that they considered, like, I have a Canadian license from Quebec, but they didn't recognize any other place you go to. They're like, oh, you have a driver's license? Mm-hmm. We'll issue you our regional license.
Right.
Here, I had to redo everything. So I had to do my knowledge test, the written test,
right,
and the driving test. And I felt like I was 16 again.
Yeah.
Like, I think Sam was like, hey, you want to go drink? I was like, oh, I got to stay home on a Friday night and read this book on what to do when you approach a yield sign.
I know. I totally had to go through all of that.
You know, I haven't had to do the test since phones. Can you just cheat? On your cell phone, just Google everything?
Yeah, I think when, I don't know. I have to go into this small room. And like, there's like one administrator. It was like taking an exam, like you're in high school. Just one guy sits at a desk.
Oh, really?
And just watches everyone.
Is that fake?
No, that's real.
Oh, you switched?
No.
How did you? Do you just keep going back?
Is this legal?
Do you still have an address?
That's my mom's address.
Oh, all right.
I legally do not live here.
Okay.
I just moved here last week, so I don't have to change my license yet.
Nice.
But yeah, I legally do not live in California.
Oh.
And here's the thing. Like, my mom and my sister, they're accountants, and all my tax stuff goes to my mom's house. And that's how I do my taxes.
Uh-huh.
And all that. So, I mean, I still get all my legal shit right to that house.
Oh, nice.
So I legally still live in Texas.
That's I should have had a better relationship with my parents.
You're going to send your shit to Montana?
I wouldn't trust my mom doing my taxes. Who am I kidding?
So the eye exam that you guys, is that the one where you put your head on the machine?
You have to stand, you have to cover one eye.
It's like you haven't been to the optometrist. What am I talking about? But it was like A, R, Z, T, read the next line.
So ours in Texas, it's this thing, and you put your head to it, and your forehead turns it on.
Oh, yeah.
And you look in through these two aisles, you read across the line. So I was in there, and I was reading, and I was like, okay, so R, Q, P, and she just goes, open your other eye. Because it's different. There's one part that's just blanked out. So I thought I could just beat the system and look through my good eye. And she's like, we know what you're doing. I'm like, oh, shit.
Sam also wears an eye patch. You can't see that right now.
It goes with the dreads.
What's the biggest difference, do you think, between comedy in Canada and America? Is there a difference?
Not really.
How much do you hate us? How much does Canada really hate Americans?
We've been judging since the election.
That's it.
And maybe a little bit more, but like a lot more. Like the same way Sam squints when he walks around. That's what we've been doing since the election. Like we've always kind of been concerned, but now we're just squinting at you guys.
I forget, some Canadian comic was on here. I think it was either me or some Canadian comic. It had to have been a Canadian comic. I can't take credit for it. But he's like the older brother who knows he's better than his younger brother, but his younger brother's so stupid that he thinks he's better, and it's just irritating.
Yeah. I cannot confirm nor deny that. I would say, like, for the most part, a lot of the humor just kind of, it kind of literally goes across the border. Like, there's no major difference. I would say the only difference that's really noticeable is that in Canada, you could kind of play around with the politics of comedy, and here it's just kind of like you need to know what city you're in and know, oh, this joke will fly here and this joke won't fly out in Temecula.
That's of recent, though.
Yeah.
That's of since the last election.
Oh. I like the crowds better in Canada. I'm not going to lie. Like, they come. The room isn't papered. Any club I do in Canada, the room is not papered. Those people came because they wanted to watch a comedy show. And I love that. And I live here now, but when I was in Texas, when I would go up there, they always wanted to have the gun talk up there. They're like, oh, what's the thing with you guys and guns? And now, like you said, since the last election, I can't go anywhere without people wanting to. So what's going on in the States? I'm like, do I look like I have a fucking clue? I mean, look at me and look at him. And do you think that we are on the same page whatsoever?
Yeah.
I always tell people when I'm overseas, or especially in Canada, when they ask questions about America.
It's always the gun.
I always tell them, I'm like, look, you have to remember that America is one of the youngest nations on this planet. Mm-hmm. Like all these others, like millennia old. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. America's one of the youngest nations on this planet. We're also one of the richest. Give a 13-year-old kid $100 million.
Yeah.
You know what he's going to do? Exactly what the fuck we're doing.
That's a good analogy.
that's exactly where he's going to do. And that's America, man. We got all this money.
Yeah.
We got all this tech. And we weren't around BC.
Yeah. Last time I was doing the military, at that hotel in Bahrain, it was during the DNC, Democratic National Convention, before the last election. And I had this weird insomnia when I was over there. I could only sleep for 4 hours at a time. No matter what, it was 4 hours at a time. And so that hotel, like, had this fucking, Andrew, and I'm not a breakfast guy. I've slept through breakfast my whole life, but this breakfast was there was an omelet station, a sushi station. This was swank as shit.
Yeah.
And so I would just time it where I'd sleep my 4 hours, get up at six. No, get up at four, exercise, be done at six, eat the breakfast, and then the timing would be the DNC coverage of the National Convention. Okay. And I had to fucking field so many goddamn questions. Just trying to enjoy a goddamn poached egg. What the fuck? I haven't had eggs Florentine in 20 years. Can you give me a fucking break? I don't know why he's running for president.
And yeah, well, you would get up at 4 and go work out and do whatever during Ramadan. When you quit drinking and you get back at 3 a.m., you go get that breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
Because at 4:30, when that sun peaks over the hill, that shit's locked away. It's crazy. People eat crazy in the middle of the night, man.
Because they can't do anything during the day. Was that the deal? I know.
No food, no beverage.
Sunrise to sunset.
Yeah.
Yep. And
can't touch it.
It's crazy.
The traffic is great.
What's that?
I bet the traffic is great during that time.
Well, they're still around. It's just like they just can't eat.
Oh, all right.
There was a burger joint right by base where it was like in this office building, and you had to walk through an alley or whatever, and they were open during Ramadan, and it was all Americans in there. And so we went, burger, shake, the place is awesome. And I even asked him, I was like, what would happen if you guys got caught? And he's like, we hope we never get caught.
Oh, that's
and I was
crazy.
Just like, I'm like, so how bad? And he wouldn't say what would happen. He just sat there shaking his head, just like, if we ever get caught. If we ever get caught. I was like, seriously?
He knows. Yeah, he knows.
Dude needs some cash, man. Isn't Bahrain the country that, oh man, and I pride myself on my religious knowledge, and I'm going to fuck this up. Is Muhammad can't see, or Allah, who I forget, somebody can't, the one God,
Allah can't see over the water.
Allah can't see over
the water.
Over the water.
I think that's
Bahrain.
Dubai. I think
is that Dubai? I thought it was Bahrain also.
Oh, I think it's all the Emirates because they're all out there in the water. And that's why Dubai is the gambling hooker paradise.
Right.
Because they can break all the rules of Islam because it's Allah's blind to hear, which I think somebody came up with a really good story who was a land developer. And was just like, yo, I'm building a casino here because all I can't see. They're like, really? He's like, totally.
Yeah.
Come out.
All great religions start with somebody wanting something.
Yeah.
You know?
Come out.
Joseph Smith starting the morning.
Blow your money. Get drunk.
We can have as many wives as we want. Yeah. Where does it say that? That book I found that burned. Oh, okay. Deal. Let's
well, if you said it on the mic, it must be true.
Let's just go ahead and start a state based on Mormonism.
Yeah. I just think that's nuts that, like, over here, I am a devout. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't eat pork. Over here, I'm eating bacon out of the stripper's ass. Like, it's just they don't give a shit.
I grew up hardcore Christian, which has its own crazy rules. But do you think they really believe that he can't see, or do you just like fuck it? I get to do it. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
At this point, I don't care. I respect the hustle. I admire the hustle. Because here's the thing. If you can't see over there, then why are you still practicing so devoutly when you're over here? That's a lot more water. When you move to America, these people are devout Muslims. I'm like, but if Allah can't see you in Dubai, then he can't see you across into America.
Yeah.
So come on, have some bacon with me, motherfucker.
We have different saline in our oceans.
Yes.
You can't really.
Come have some bacon, bro.
So I also, you brought up politics. So what about religion? I always find in other countries, America, religion, talking about, and I talk about religion a lot, is like, I have friends from me, like England. I talked, I was performing in England earlier this year. He's like, oh, nobody even talks about religion around here. It's so not even a factor in things. My friends from Australia, he's like, oh, yeah, nobody gives a shit about religion.
Yeah, no one gives a shit in Canada. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think it's kind of like similar to here, where it's like, it's practice, people do it, but it's not it's not an off topic subject where people
just somehow early on, somebody convinced Americans that if you're American, you're Christian.
Yeah.
And I found this car. Traveling all over the country, I'm Christian. Well, when was the last time you've been to church? I never have.
Yeah.
Are you Christian? I'm American. All right, I'll see you later.
I think Canada's religion is basically hockey. I mean, like, as long as it's like, yeah, church is on, but as long as we don't miss the game.
So are the Leafs.
Yeah.
That's a good hockey reference for a guy who doesn't follow sports.
There you go.
All right.
This guy's on the ball.
I might have got that from Wayne's World, to be honest.
You got Ottawa. You got the Leafs. This guy.
I really want to live in Canada. Free healthcare? Come on.
Being American doesn't automatically make you Christian, but I'm from the South.
Okay.
And being from the South does. You grow up, you were Christian.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess this is what we're doing every Sunday.
Yeah. It's so funny when I do. different acts of, I mean, I probably got about 15 minutes on religion, and different parts of it work better in different areas.
Oh, yeah.
They all work. come on.
Not the bride.
I'm pretty good at work. No, but it's like kind of like the cynical side of it, and like in Los Angeles kills, but then like the kind of like the really like I talk a bit about lock-ins, which is very Southern and Christian thing, and it gets a laugh here, but down south it like applause break, you know. So it's weird to see the different levels of it work different areas.
I have this thing about abortion that I've been doing lately, and
it kills.
Come on.
I don't know how you do it in Canada, motherfucker. That's how you do it here.
But yeah,
and I've literally
hopped state lines and see, like you're saying, there's a part of it that does kill, and then there's a part of it that doesn't in some places. And then here in California, there's a part where they're like, oh, and then the end of it, they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
In Texas, the beginning part that they do, they love it. And then when it gets to the end about how they're all assholes, they're like, boom.
I love that when they laugh at the wrong area, the wrong part of the joke.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
You know, that's just the setup, right? I'm going to be shutting that down.
That's where I lose you. Okay. I have this thing back in the day about how I was kids gay marriage.
I was against it
because we needed less marriages, not more. No one needed to get married. And it was funny because I would start to be like, I was against even the thought of gay marriage from the jump. And some of the states of the South, people would just start cheering, and I'd be like, you should have waited a second. Because I'm not against it for the reason you are.
Right, right.
You're against it because you're a piece of shit. Like, I'm against it.
I got something funny.
Yeah,
I'm against it because, like, now if everybody can get married, I have no way of telling a woman why I don't. It's like, even Steve and Adam got married. Why aren't we getting married? Shut up!
I have a joke about the transgender bathroom laws. Which I really like a lot, but every once in a while I'll be like, you know, I'm going to North Carolina. I don't know if you heard what's going on in North Carolina. Apparently they're making laws that only boys can go in boys' bathrooms and only girls can go in girls' bathrooms. And every once in a while, like, yes! Wait, I'm not done.
Wait for the kicker.
You're not going to be clapping in 30 seconds.
Yeah, y'all got to get to the period at the end of the sentence.
Yeah,
it's will you hear me take another breath after that?
Yeah.
Something's coming. And when it comes, everybody's going to turn and look at the person who clapped early. And you're going to go, check, please, because you're going to feel like, shit.
I mean, it's weird, too. Like, in different, like, in parts of California, I'll do that, you know? Like, down at Irvine Improv or something, I'll do that joke, and somebody will clap or hoot during that part. And you're like, we're supposed to be we're supposed to be the gay tree huggers. Why are you why are you clapping at that point?
But when you do your religious jokes, do you feel... like, because there's some jokes where you could kind of like walk along the line, and then there's some jokes where it's like you cross the line, but you come back to it.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of like you kind of win them over still. Do you feel like when you do your religious jokes, do you feel like the audience kind of pull back at some point, or are they always with you along the way?
Well, I try to talk about, because my dad was a preacher, so I really try to endear him with kind of, you know, having, you know, being a preacher's kid and having to go to church five times a week and kind of do some biblical stuff like that that a lot of people get. And then we kind of go. I was doing a joke that I don't do anymore because I riffed it one night and it got like a gasp and then a little bit of a laugh. And then all the comics were like, oh my God, that joke is amazing.
Yeah.
And so I started doing it because all the comics, but then I'm like, it's not really mine. And it was completely divider. Like, because I went to Vegas the following week, I did that joke. Mm-hmm. First show, it got booed.
Yeah.
Second show, it got an applause break, practically standing ovation. So it was it's definitely a division joke, and I don't believe it enough to
do it.
When I'm doing a long set, I like to kind of throw it off the rails in the middle and bring it back.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do it with that joke because I don't believe it 100%. I sound really artsy fartsy. Feel free to kick me in the neck. But
oh no! I mean, like,
you know what I mean? But I will derail an hour on a joke I 100% believe in.
Yeah.
That I know is going to ruffle some feathers. I got no problem with that. But this one is, I was kind of doing it more for the comics.
Yeah.
Than I was
for yourself,
for myself and the audience.
Yeah.
So I dropped it.
Yeah.
Your thing when you said like you don't really believe it or whatever. I used to have this awesome bit. It was my closer for years about how I went out to Vegas and I got drunk and partied with Jared from Subway.
Okay.
Like, whole weekend. And, dude, it would crush. He ended up wingman for me, getting me laid by some chick, whatever. And it was all about how you think he's a nerd, but he's this really awesome dude. Then he gets busted for child porn.
Right.
And I was just like, well, it's dead. I can't do this joke about how cool he is and how I kicked it with him a whole weekend, whatever. And people were like, you know, you could just switch that out. Like, you could just say that, like, it was flow from Progressive or
right.
something like that. And it was one of those things, like, I couldn't do it because I didn't go get drunk with flow from Progressive.
Yeah, yeah.
I got drunk with Jared. Mm-hmm. And it, that was another one of those where I'm like, when you said, like, I don't really believe that, so I kind of don't want to. And I was like, yeah, I'm just going to let this go ahead and die.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of people I could say with Steve Buscemi. It doesn't
right,
fucking
right.
matter. But I'm just like, yeah, it's not. That's not fun. The fun part was watching this crowd go nuts about some shit that really happened to me.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I could totally write an incredible bullshit story.
Right.
But
might as well be a knock-knock joke.
Yeah, watching you laugh at my bullshit story, that's not fun.
Yeah.
Like,
you want the experience, yeah.
Watching you laugh at, here's what happened to me. Because we went overseas to one of these things, and they put us in the vest where we got to get attacked by the dogs.
Oh, yeah, I've done that. Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and I get literally spiked into the ground by this German Shepherd. And at the end of the bit, I go follow me on Twitter. And you click on media, scroll down. Because people took so many pictures, I've got a slide, frame-by-frame slideshow of it happening. And so that's another one of those things where it's like, dude, they're dying by it. Because people come to me all the time and be like, is that really true? And I'll be like, oh, yeah, go look it up.
Yeah.
And cool thing about it is I get Twitter followers out of it.
Absolutely. two things I want to say to that. I don't mean to one-up you. But I have been drunk with Flo from Progressive. So
what?
She's an old friend of mine. She's an old stand-up from L.A.
Oh, okay, my gosh.
Yeah, well, sick. Tell her we need to go out drinking so I can...
So can you get another
bit? Story. I think I need a new closer.
She's like me. She's married with a kid now. I don't think she's out drinking anymore.
No. I just need her to reenact this story to where... Here's all the things you need to do. I'll pay for everything. I'll get us drunk. You just need to go talk to that chick. And you need to tell her that I'm really cute and attractive. Yeah. And then I need to hook up with her because you did it. And then, you know, I'll have my joke back.
Yeah, like, definitely.
Here's your lines. You're good at this.
I was thinking you're just going to be like, all right, you're just gonna replace a guy named Jared. I'm not going to tell you who it is. But now that every Jared I can think of is a total asshole.
Yeah.
Jared Leto. Jared Kushner. Jared from Subway. Like, are there no cool Jareds left anymore?
Jared is added to the list of Chads. And
yeah, yeah, totally. Oh, Chad's a bad one.
The other thing I was going to say, isn't it weird how, and I think we probably covered this before, how, because I haven't seen you in years.
Yeah.
And I just met you
a month ago.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So within those years, I had open heart surgery last year, and I do a lot on it.
Yeah.
I got about 15 minutes on it. I pepper it through. And after shows, do you really have open heart surgery?
Yeah. Like,
nah, man. I thought I needed a new bit. So yeah. I just thought, maybe I'll just make up that I almost died. That's hilarious. And yeah, you know what? People have done cancer.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with open heart surgery. Like, I don't understand why people don't believe us when we talk. There's too many, I guess there's too many fucking hacks out there.
And you know what's really funny?
And I say hack in the way that they do surface jokes, not hack in the artistic.
Mm-hmm. I think it's people see us and they're like, oh, it's just a joke, but they don't realize that our jokes come from real life experiences,
yeah.
You know? So it's like that has like a disassociation for them where it's just like, oh, this is something you made up and you wrote. You're like, no,
right.
This is a true story. I'm making fun of what happened, but
yeah.
the core of it or the base of it is a true story.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, there are embellishments in some of the stories.
Oh, tons, yeah.
Like there's plenty of things that I did that were completely stupid that you're not going to hear that part of the story. You'll hear the end of the story where I come out looking like a badass, but the part that led up to there where I completely fell and bust my face open, no, you won't hear that. Yeah, but the thing is, there's embellishments, and then I will trail off in the details. Because I need to punch things up on the way to get to the end of the story.
Yeah.
But
yeah, definitely.
But yeah, it's, and I don't know about you guys, but like when you're in a room and you're watching a dude tell a story on stage, do you get the spidey sense where you're like, that didn't fucking happen?
Every once in a while, I can tell.
Yeah.
Every once in a while.
I can tell you're making it up. Because it seems like they put so much into it where they just want to be believed. So yeah, bad, yeah. Where I'm like, yeah, that didn't happen. And then you watch them do another joke right after that. And you're like, that happened. I mean, I can see the difference in the way. Yeah. That one right there, you're full of shit.
Yeah.
There's one guy who I'm friends with, and he's gotten a lot better now, and he's moved up to headlining and stuff. But I remember watching him middle at the Ice House one night, and I turned to the sound guy. I'm like, I don't believe a fucking thing of this at all. I don't believe any of this. I don't believe, and it was true. And he was young and just writing, you know?
Yeah.
But then there was this one guy I saw. It made me so mad. And he was selling his DVD at the end of his set. He's like, this is my DVD. It's $25 or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know, if you think I'm funny, I'd love for you to buy it. I was left here the other night, and I got pulled over. And the cop said, you know, where are you coming from? I said, oh, I'm coming from the Ice House. And what do you do? He's like, oh, I'm a comedian. He's like, are you funny? And he said, well, here's my DVD. You tell me. And then he said, whatever. And he let me go. And then a month later, I got a check for $25 from that cop in the mail.
Wow.
That didn't fucking happen at all. None of that happened. I don't care. And I'm sorry if you're listening to this and this is how you sell your CD, but that didn't fucking happen. And I can give you 12 reasons why it didn't happen. Yeah. Just the logistics of that. First of all, cops can't take bribes. And that's what that is. That's a bribe. Yeah. If you let him go, that's a bribe. Second of all, how's he going to get your fucking address? Do you put your goddamn address on your DVD? No, you idiot.
And third of all, half the time, they won't even give you the $25 when they take it from you at your show. Just, oh, could you take this? And could you sign it? Oh, thanks. And then they'll walk away. And you're like, hey, bitch, wait a minute. Come here. So, get somebody to mail you $25. No.
I had a chick try to steal my CD. Well, as I was signing it, and I see her lift another one up and put it in her purse.
What?
I'm like, who's that for? She's like, what do you mean? Who's that for? And with my CD, who are you getting that for? She's like, oh, this is the CD I just paid for. I'm like, no, this is the CD I'm signing to you, Maria. She's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, okay. I took it out, put it back. I'm like, get out of here.
Holy shit. What did happen, though. I'm on that guy's story, the $25. Coming back from McAllen, Texas,
okay,
down on the board. You get one of those border checkpoints where they come by and they, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing down in the valley? Yeah. I don't smoke weed,
right,
but I was staying in a house with these guys who smoke a shitload of it. So my car smells like weed, right? Because my bag reeks of it because I've been in their house. Dog is running around the car, hits on something.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, we need you to pull over, this, that, and the other. And then, what were you doing down in the valley? I was like, I was doing a comedy show, this, that, and the other. This is back when I had my CDs.
Yeah.
And I pulled them. I was like, see, look, here's my CDs. This is whatever. They're like, why does your car smell like weed? I'm like, I'm a comedian, and I was down there with other comedians. Why do you think my car smells like weed? He's like, so you high right now? I'm like, I don't smoke weed. And he's like, seriously? I was like, dude, I will pee right now, and I swear I'll pass. I literally don't. Whip. And they go through my car. Dog is in my shit, right? And they find nothing. And I was like, I wasn't kidding you guys, whatever.
Right.
So I'm packing things up, whatever. And then when I grabbed like my stack of DVDs, I was like, yeah, here you guys, you can keep that one, right? And so I throw that in the car. 6 months later, I go down to do a show in Corpus. And I'm coming back through there. Hey, what were you doing down here? This, that, and the other. And I was like, oh, I was doing a comedy show. And my CD was called Where's My Damn Cake? Because I had this stupid joke that I'll never do again about cake. And I was like, yeah, I was down. I was down there. I was doing a comedy show, whatever. And oh, it's the cake dude. And they're like, yeah, man, we just kind of sit here bored, so we put it on. You're actually pretty good. Like, and I still didn't get my $10. So that guy's full of shit.
Right. I was going to say, if fucking Sam said he gave him $10, I'm going to be like, bullshit.
No, he didn't pay me. They listen to my shit all the time.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That guy is full of shit. Hey, listen, I want to thank you guys for coming. This is a blast. It's always a good show when the hour goes so fast. So thanks a lot. And I would stay, except I got to go pick up my kid from school.
That's a good reason.
Andrew, where can we find you?
You could find me at Instagram, Andrew Searles, Searles, Twitter, AndrewSearles.com. I have a couple, what do I have coming up? I have a couple shows around town, and then I got to go up to Canada for the Grand Prairie in November.
Okay.
The one-nighter, and then back to Montreal, 26th to 28th.
Grand Prairie, where's that?
Oh my gosh. I looked on the map and I was like, I can't believe I'm going up this far. It's like 5.5. It's 3 hours. Okay, so there's Calgary. Yeah. Edmonton is 3 hours north of Calgary. And then Grand Prairie is 5.5 hours northwest.
Wow.
Of Edmonton. Yeah.
Sam would drive that, no problem.
Oh, yeah, it's easy. Yeah.
All right, Sam, where can we find you?
I mean, yeah, there's Facebook. I'm Sam Damaris. Don't bother. I hate it. Twitter, I'm Sam Damaris. That's DEMARIS. And then Instagram is my favorite. It's where I'm the most active. And it's very easy to find me. I am Tyrannosaurus Black.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, I couldn't believe that was actually available.
Right.
But it won't. It ain't now.
It's weird that you're Asian and you got that. I don't understand.
I know, right? Well, that's the thing. Poor White Trash was taken.
Oh, all right, all right.
And I'm not kidding. I totally
tried. Oh, really? You tried that?
I totally tried to be Poor White Trash on Instagram. I wanted that handle so bad.
You know, that was gone as soon as they introduced
it. Oh, yeah. They were like, hey, you can pick your own. Oh, shit.
That was the first one.
You know, it's not hard to find Murray Valeriano on anything.
Sam Damaris. Damaris is easy.
Really?
Anywhere. Yeah.
But you could probably, you remember those little license plates you could get as on your bicycles?
Those souvenirs, yeah.
Yeah, you put on your bicycle and like, you could never find a Murray. You could never find
really?
A Murray. Yeah. Like my brother Tony had one. My aunt brought us one. It was Tony and then brought one for Greg and then brought one for me that said Tiger.
It's the best we could do.
There's
an R.
Sorry.
That's because you were looking for the ones that go on your bicycle. If you were looking for the ones that go on your Rascal scooter, there's probably plenty of Murrays.
Yes.
There's a Murray and a Gertrude.
A good old Jew joke. All right. Well, hey, Seattle. Speaking of Seattle, I'll be up there on the 23rd at the Rendezvous. Tickets are only $10. Can you believe
Great
that?
Great city.
Not bad.
Yeah. Can you believe that? $10 at the Rendezvous Theater. I know a couple of you already coming. I hope to see the rest of you out there. At Murray V Comedy on Instagram, at Murray V on Twitter, and of course, Facebook, Murray Valeriano Comedy. I like Facebook. Sam doesn't. But I also like Instagram. So listen, nice to meet you again, man. Thanks a lot.
It was good to see you.
Sam,
man.
It was great to see you and catch
Absolutely,
up again, buddy. I really appreciate it. Hey, listen, come see these guys when they come to your town. They're very funny. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you.
You want to know about life on the road? It's
booze, tacos, angry dwarfs, strippers waving guns,
and
bees fights, canceled flights, running with the runs,
and
blacklists, bounce checks, great, a bachelorette, drunks in the front, making out through your set,
and
middle acts doing blow, more missing merch,
and
drive the rental car past another mega church,
and
juice, keys, vagina, fist, your cell phone is gone, one big Law and Order marathon.